Hi, everyone. Happy 4th of July to you too, Cheryl. I love you. happy Sunday, everyone. We are here now for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the time each week that is set aside to look at the personal messages that have been given to me to be most helpful in my awakening. And right now, we are in that period of time when Laurent and I were in partnership, and so the messages were really given to the both of us. We're going to look at a message tonight that is dated November 22nd, 2007, and the name of the message is The Light of Awareness. In fact, in this particular period of time, Spirit was talking a lot to us about awareness. Here is a link to the light of awareness. And of course, you guys know me. What I would like to do before we begin looking at the message is say a prayer. So if you would join me, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that I need do nothing. I want to thank you that I need do nothing in order to be pure perfection, that I need do nothing to follow your will. That I need do nothing to fix myself, to make myself better. I want to thank you for the growing realization of truth, the growing realization of the perfection that we all are. The growing realization that we can relax now. Because literally everything we ever thought was wrong is imagined. And perfection remains unchanged. Amen. Okay. As I mentioned, we're going to look at this message called The Light of Awareness. And it's Holy Spirit speaking to Laurent and me, through me. Bye, Cheryl. Love you. All right, here is the message. The experience of guilt comes from your judgment of yourself. I just want to pause there. The experience of guilt comes from your judgment of yourself. The continuing experience of guilt comes from your continued judgment. This is why I ask you to become more aware. As you become aware of the motive beneath each thought, beneath each action or reaction within the mind, you will begin to notice judgment. What drives your mind in much of the thinking it seems to do is judgment or habitual fear of judgment, which comes from past knowledge that judgment is deserved and probably well on the way. And by the way, knowledge here does not mean, of course, Spirit's knowledge. It just means educated ego. Ego that believes in its own judgment of itself, ego that believes I am bad, and ego that remembers all the times before that I believe that I was bad. And so it's like in this pattern of belief, it thinks that judgment is completely deserved and probably well on the way. In itself, fear of judgment is also a judgment. I'm going to give the link again because I noticed a couple people have entered the room. You know, it's funny because what Spirit is saying now is not complicated. It's not difficult. And yet at the same time, I remember this was a lesson that was very difficult for me to learn. It was very difficult for me to learn that I felt guilty or bad or unworthy, or some people use the word shameful, because of my own judgment of myself. That was very, very hard for me to accept. I really believed that it was other people's judgment of me that made me guilty. And when Spirit would say to me things like this, right, that your experience of guilt comes from your judgment of yourself, right, I honestly, even though I wrote it down, there was a time when I did not truly believe Spirit. I thought, that's not true. I thought, even if I quit judging myself, others are still going to. And in fact, I guess you could, in a way, say that's true. I actually just got a letter from someone today who appears to be judging me. So that does go on. But the difference is, unless I agree with that judgment, I do not suffer. So if someone judges me, and I can see they are just making a mistake, they're just looking through the perception of their own mind, and that's where their judgment is coming from, but they really don't know. It kind of reminds me of when Jesus said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, right? When I can see that someone is just acting from their own mind, you know, and that's where the judgment is coming from, and I don't personally agree with the judgment myself, I am not hurt by it. I am only hurt by a judgment. I only want to defend. I only feel guilty. I only feel unworthy. I only want to crawl in a hole and die if I agree with it. So what that means, of course, is Spirit is right. What that means is the experience of guilt, unworthiness, shame, only comes from my judgment of myself. We talked about this a little bit on Friday when we were looking at the original edition. We talked about how if someone comes up to you, no matter how angry they appear to be, you know, somebody comes up to you with this really twisted up face, looks right at you and says, "You're a paperclip." Right? We don't feel anything. You know, it's just like, what? You know, what? We don't feel anything because we don't agree with the judgment, "I'm a paperclip." We don't agree. We feel nothing. But if someone comes and says something to us that at some level we do agree with, then we're hurt. So whose judgment is hurting us? It's clearly our own. This is something that we need to see. And this is also very, very good news. Because what this means is if we can let go of our own self-judgment, with Holy Spirit's help, of course, if we can let go of our own self-judgment, that literally people can share any opinion of us that they want to, any opinion at all, and we are not hurt by it. In fact, what really happens is we begin to see very clearly and without our own judgment, they're just looking through the filter of their mind. They don't understand. You know, they don't understand that they're seeing me through their fear. They're seeing me through their judgments, right? And we can see that without any offense taken. We can see that without any judgment on them. And it just becomes a very benign experience where not only am I not hurt by what someone says, but I also hold no grievance against them. It's a very peaceful place to be, joyous place to be. So please let's listen. As Spirit says, the experience of guilt comes from your judgment of yourself. The continuing experience of guilt comes from your continued judgment. This is why I ask you to become more aware. As you become more aware of the motive beneath each thought, beneath each action or reaction within the mind, you will begin to notice judgment. Now, what Spirit is saying here is that our thoughts of self-judgment are not always obvious to us. So what's happening is we are judging ourselves without being aware that we are judging ourselves. And so our feeling of guilt or unworthiness or shame is kind of piling up, you could say. It's kind of piling up within us simply because we aren't aware of how much we're making it through our own judgment. You know, so a common example that's coming to my mind now, you know, many people in America feel like they eat too much, right? Many people in America feel like, you know, they could lose at least a few pounds. Very common. Well, whenever a person has any kind of eating disorder, you know, whether they hide to eat, whether they don't eat at all, you know, whether they eat and then purge, right? Whether they try to avoid some foods because they really perceive them as bad foods and then they hate themselves when they do give in and eat it. Most of us have experienced or are experiencing one form of eating disorder. All eating disorder comes from the belief that we're bad. It's a self-judgment. And so what we don't see is that even in participating in our eating disorder, whatever form of eating disorder we participate in, as we participate in our eating disorder, we are continually reinforcing the idea that we're bad. That's just one common example in America. Another thing that we do that we may not realize is actually a self-judgment is we defend ourselves. Someone says something, and maybe they aren't even exactly right, you know, but we feel this little attack, and we want to show them that they're wrong. Or we want to explain why we did it. We want to defend ourselves. Every time we want to defend ourselves, the motive behind that is the belief that we are bad. So you see, sometimes we have thoughts that are clearly self-judgments, you know, like a self-thought, you fat pig, you know, talking to ourself. A self-thought, you're so stupid. A self-thought, you never get things right. And if we start paying attention, we'll start noticing that we do that. And we can see those judgments. But sometimes the judgments we don't see, well, we don't see because they're not statements like that. It's the action itself that's coming from a silent judgment, like the eating disorder or the desire to defend ourselves. So what Spirit is literally telling us here is that our feeling of guilt, our feeling of unworthiness, our feeling of shame, and ultimately even our feeling of fear, comes from all of the self-judging that we do. And Spirit is also telling us we are not at all aware of how much self-judging we do. So Spirit is asking us to become more aware, and if you've been following these messages, then you know that Holy Spirit has asked us to will for awareness. Will for awareness. Just, you know, literally say within the mind as a silent prayer, you know, different times throughout the day when we think of it, I am willing to be more aware of my thoughts, of my self-judgments, of my motives. And then Spirit said, even be gratitude when you be grateful. When you remember to will for awareness, be grateful that you just remembered to will for awareness. Say, I'm so grateful that I remembered to do this. It's so important, and I know it's important. You know I cannot be free as long as I continue in the practice of self-judgment without even being aware that I'm involved in the practice of self-judgment. I'm so grateful I remembered to will for awareness. I'm so grateful because I need to see what I'm doing to myself in order to choose again. I need to see what I'm doing to myself before I begin to let go of old habits and accept new habits that are guided by the Holy Spirit. I need this self-judgment taken out of the darkness and brought into the light. And the light is my own awareness of what I'm doing. I will for awareness. And I am so grateful to myself for remembering to do that. Again, Holy Spirit says, this is why I ask you to become more aware. As you become aware of the motive beneath each thought, beneath each action or reaction within the mind, you will begin to notice judgment. What drives your mind in much of the thinking it seems to do? What drives your mind in much of the thinking it seems to do is judgment or habitual fear of judgment. You know, a word that's coming to my mind right now it's actually a phrase. It's a phrase that hasn't come to my mind for some time. But I remember it used to be a common part of my vocabulary. It's cover your ass. At work, we had a cover your ass mentality. Always cover your ass. You know, we were always afraid of the judgment coming down on us. So we wanted to make sure we covered our ass. But you know what was underneath that was this fear that we were bad and someone was going to discover that we weren't as good as we thought maybe others thought we were, and that eventually they would discover that. Let's see, Barb is saying, Regina, can you explain will for again? Yeah, will for is the little demonstration I kind of did. Here's a demonstration of will for. Are you ready? I am willing, right? It's like an internal prayer. It's a statement / prayer. I am willing to be more aware of my own self-judgment. I am willing to be more aware of my own motives. I am willing to see what I do not see. It's funny because I came in and I heard Cheryl Valentine speaking a moment ago, and she was talking about praying to Holy Spirit to see the errors or mistakes in her own mind. And she said she used to be afraid to do that. She used to be afraid to pray to Holy Spirit and ask that He help her see her errors And she said, now she loves it. And do you know why she loves it? Well, first let's talk about why she was afraid. Before, there was a belief in her that she was bad. A belief that came from this self-judgment that we're talking about. And that belief was so firm that she was afraid to ask Holy Spirit to let her see her errors, because she was afraid that if Holy Spirit shined a light in her mind, that what that light would uncover is proof that she was bad. And so this made her afraid to ask to see her errors. But somewhere along the way, what Cheryl started to do was ask anyway. Right? She trusted Holy Spirit to ask anyway, even though she was afraid. And what she learned through her own experience is that when Holy Spirit reveals an error or a mistake in our mind, Holy Spirit does it without any judgment. And Holy Spirit also does it with clarity, so that we can see how letting go of that error, that mistake, is only letting go of suffering. We can see that it brings more joy. And so as she's learned from her own experience that asking for awareness, right, asking to see her mistakes, reveals things that can be let go so that she suffers less and she's more happy, more joyful, now she's excited. She's excited to pray to Holy Spirit and say, please show me what I do not see. Please show me my mistakes. So whether you do it as a prayer like Cheryl does, praying to Holy Spirit, please show me the errors in my mind, or whether you do it as a statement kind of to the universe, I am willing to see the errors in my mind, or I will for seeing the errors in my mind, it's all the same. You're opening up to having that which is hidden be brought into the light so it can be seen with clarity and let go. It's how we set ourselves free. I hope that answers your question, Barb. Okay, so back to the paragraph then. What drives your mind in much of the thinking it seems to do is judgment or habitual fear of judgment. Right? And I talked about how at work we used to always have this cover your ass thought. And that's because we really did kind of expect somebody to come and just see we weren't as good as they thought we were. You know, we expected a self-fulfilling prophecy of our own self-judgment. Sometimes people are overly kind. You know, like trying too hard to be kind. And the trying too hard to be kind comes from fear of judgment. And that, of course, fear of judgment just comes from a constant self-judgment. Right? People-pleasing, I think, is a term that we often hear. And there are all kinds of things that we do. Some people never say no. Right? You ask them to do things, they always say yes, even though they don't have the time. They really know they should be doing something else. But they always say yes. The inability to say no comes from constant self-judgment. What Spirit again is saying is that much of what we do, much of what drives our thinking, much of what drives our decision-making ability, unless we've already gone through this healing, is self-judgment, an undercurrent of self-judgment that is running in the mind a lot of the time. And Spirit is asking us to will for awareness of this undercurrent of self-judgment so we can start choosing again. Again, Spirit says, what drives your mind in much of the thinking it seems to do is judgment or habitual fear of judgment, which comes from past knowledge or past learning. He doesn't mean, you know, capital K knowledge. He means past learning, which comes from past knowledge that judgment is deserved. This is in your own opinion, and probably well on the way. So you're afraid. That's why you cover your ass. That's why you're too nice. That's why you can't say no. Right? You're afraid of judgment because you actually believe you deserve judgment, because you have a constant undercurrent of self-judgment going on in your mind. And so Spirit says, in itself, fear of judgment is also a judgment. Next paragraph. There are many things to look at here. We've already been doing that, so that's good. There are many things to look at here. We can look at thinking and knowing and notice the difference between the two. We can look at efforting and listening and see the purpose beneath each of them. We can look at learning, which comes from the past, and see how learning is not knowledge. Excuse me for a minute. Okay. We can also argue words and get lost in their meaning or lack of meaning. And much of this would be useful, Spirit says. But it is all totally unnecessary. It is unnecessary because you know everything that I teach. Now, I don't remember this specific moment, but I think, even without remembering, I know it was happening. In the paragraph above, the word that was written down was the word knowledge, which I just explained to you. That didn't mean spirit knowledge. That meant, you know, what ego calls knowledge, which is something that has been learned through past experience. I don't know how that word came to be in the message. I don't quite understand the scribal process enough to know. I do know that Spirit doesn't actually speak in words. Spirit actually is wordless. And that somehow, without consciously being aware of it, the scribe puts the words to the wordless vibration. And that's how the words appear. But it's not anything, it's not like the scribe is aware that she's picking the words. But I know this is true because Spirit told me this. So this word knowledge showed up. And what probably began to happen in my mind is I began to judge the word knowledge. I began to judge that word and think that word should not be there. Now, since I was the scribe of the message, you have to understand that this was another form of self-judgment that was going on right here, right now, while Spirit is talking to me about how much of my thinking comes from judgment. I slip right into judgment right then. Right then. And so Spirit talks to me, and he says, you know, there are many things to look at here. He says, we can stop. We can stop right now, and we can look at the meaning of the word thinking and the meaning of the word knowing, and we can discuss the difference between the two. We can look at, you know, efforting and listening and the purpose beneath them. We can look at learning, which comes from past, and see how learning is not knowledge. He says, we can argue words, and we can get lost in their meaning or lack of meaning. And much of this would be useful. It might be useful to talk about these differences. I mean, we've done it in the past. Right, Spirit and I, it might be useful. And he says, but it's totally unnecessary. It is unnecessary because you know everything that I teach. Right? You know everything that I teach. It doesn't matter, Regina, that somehow a specific word got written down with a specific wordless vibration. Because regardless of the word that shows up on the paper, you know what I'm talking about. You understand beyond the words. You really understand beyond the words. And to stop now and judge the scribal process, to start doubting yourself, to get all caught up in fear, is simply to run off with ego. You know, and for me as Spirit to join in this conversation with you about which word would have been the best word, well, it's kind of me running off in ego with you, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to remind you that you understand what I'm saying. You feel the vibrations. You understand what I'm saying. And the reason that you understand what I'm saying is because understanding is in you. So Spirit is bringing me back from self-judgment to listening, knowing, realizing. Spirit continues, this is why I simply ask you to will for awareness. You do not need to learn that which you already know. You only need to see clearly that it is true. And what happened above, it's kind of funny actually, because here I am listening to Spirit, and yet I was not aware that I was slipping off into self-judgment because of a word. Because of a word. And it sounds ridiculous, but the truth is, we do that. We judge ourselves, we judge each other, because of a word. It should have been a different word, it should have been a better word. I'm bad, I used the wrong word. She's bad, she used the wrong word. Right? This is how habitual our self-judgment is. Spirit said, this is why I simply ask you to will for awareness. Become aware of your judgment. Watch yourself at work. Notice how you're judging yourself as you're doing your job. Notice how you're telling yourself all of the time that you're doing this wrong, you're not smart enough. Notice how you're worried somebody else is going to figure out you're not as good as you pretend to be. Right? Watch yourself in your romantic relationships. Notice how you're afraid to be completely honest with your partner. You're afraid to let your partner really see you fully and completely. For some of us, notice the motive behind keeping our house clean. I mean, I still have a pretty clean house now, but it's also got a lived-in look. It's kind of both. There was a time when my house had to be spotless and ready to be, you know, for a good housekeeping photographer to walk through the door at every moment. And if I couldn't keep that up, I would take a vacation day from work, a vacation day to clean my house. I spent weekends cleaning my house. And do you know where that came from? That came from self-judgment. There was this fear that I was not conscious of, that somebody would see something out of place in my house, and that would be proof that I was bad. And so I compulsively cleaned my house to try and avoid the inevitable judgment that I already thought I deserved. And I was not aware of the constant undercurrent of self-judgment that was there every moment that I was cleaning, that was the motive for my cleaning. Spirit says, this is why I simply ask you to will for awareness. You do not need to learn that which you already know. You only need to see clearly that it's true, right? This is because the part of your mind that wants to deny the truth is very powerful, but that part of the mind is not separate from you. You know, the ego part of our mind does not have power over us. It's powerful. It would be foolish to say otherwise. But where does it get its power? Every ounce of seeming power that the ego mind has comes from us. Which means if the ego has that much power, I have at least that much power. The ego cannot pull me in if I want more not to be pulled in. It does not have the power. It does not have the power to make me victim to it. So the part of your mind that wants to deny the truth is very powerful, but that part of the mind is not separate from you. The part of the mind that wants to deny the truth is not separate from the truth. So when the light of awareness shines within the dark, the darkness that was caused by denial is no more. The same power that I have that allows me to deny my constant stream of self-judgment and so not be fully aware of how much I self-judge, that same power, even more power, can be moved into my desire to see. Can be moved into my desire for awareness. Can be moved into my desire to have everything hidden revealed so that I can let go. The part of the mind that wants to deny the truth is not separate from the truth. It means it's not separate from you. So when the light of awareness shines within the dark, the darkness that was caused by denial is no more. Where there was darkness, there is light. Which means I see that the reason I'm cleaning my house is because I believe I'm bad. I also see that I am terrified not to make sure every window is spotless before that guest arrives in the next half hour. And I hear the phone ringing, right? And I know somebody else wants my attention, and I have a choice now. Out of absolute fear, that's my motive. Out of absolute fear, I can ignore the phone and clean the windows. Or I can say, you know what? If I don't get to the windows, it's okay, and I can answer the phone. These are exactly the kinds of choices that I made that have really set me free from this undercurrent of self-judgment that was constant before. In fact, I can specifically tell you, when I did what I just now gave the example of, I had Jeffrey Lake and Carrie Lake coming to my house in North Carolina. And I was doing my normal frenzied, it's got to be absolutely perfect cleaning. And again, the windows needed to be cleaned, and the phone was ringing. Somebody wanted to talk to me, and I knew when Jeffrey and Carrie were arriving, and I knew I wouldn't have time for both. And with the light of awareness, I looked at my motive. And I knew my motive for cleaning the windows was the belief that I was bad. The belief, it's ridiculous, but the belief that Jeffrey and Carrie would walk in my house, see a spot on my window, and know for a fact how unworthy I was. And because I saw that with the light of awareness, I saw that my motive for wanting to clean the windows was a belief in my own unworthiness, was self-judgment. I chose not to clean the windows, and I answered the phone. And that was the beginning of my freedom. You know, now we don't even clean the house when guests come, right? There's no running around and cleaning the house because someone's coming. It doesn't even matter if it's my parents, my boyfriend, one of you. Now, there's a certain amount of cleanliness that goes on regularly here. But that frenzied cleaning that I always did in the hours before someone arrived, that's not at all a part of my life. It's gone. Okay, I think Teddy's telling a lie. Let's see here. He says, well, I sort of noticed that in the new videos. Oh, I thought he was going to say he noticed that when he was at my house. I was going to say, Teddy, you've never been at my house. So he's noticing that in the videos. Yeah, it's a clean house, but it's not a house that hides a belief in my unworthiness. It's not that. And so if anyone else knows, if you know within yourself, Spirit says you know. I trust Spirit. So if anyone else knows within themselves that there's still this hidden current of self-judgment, that the reason you operate the way you do at work, in your relationships, around your house, you know, whatever you do, your people-pleasing, if you know that you're really still doing stuff to try and avoid this unworthiness or this guilt that you believe in coming to the surface, right? then start making the decisions to not clean the windows, right? I mean, there will be a day that you'll clean windows, sure. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Notice when the pure motive of not being honest with your partner, when the pure motive of doing whatever is coming from that absolute belief that you're bad and that someone's going to see it. And start making decisions just to let that be. Let those windows be dirty. Go ahead and tell your partner what you're afraid to tell them. You know? Go ahead and go to the bathroom before you walk into the meeting and walk in a couple of minutes late at work. You know, whatever it is. Start letting go of that belief by not covering it up through your actions, through your decisions. Okay, so again, Spirit says, this is why I simply ask you to will for awareness. You do not need to learn that which you already know. You only need to see clearly that it is true. This is because the part of your mind that wants to deny the truth is very powerful, but that part of the mind is not separate from you. The part of the mind that wants to deny the truth is not separate from the truth. So when the light of awareness shines within the dark, the darkness that was caused by denial is no more. Where there was darkness, there is light. Where what is was not seen, it is seen now. And when it is seen, it cannot be denied, because that which sees it is knowledge. Now he's talking more than about seeing our errors here. He's talking about as we do this practice to see our errors and we start making decisions to let them go, we're actually going to see what was seemingly hidden underneath the errors. Do you know what's hidden underneath the belief that you're bad? It's your absolute perfection. It's the fact that you could never, ever, ever be bad. So as we release that belief by making decisions not to clean the windows, you know, when it's pure fear trying to talk us into it, when we start to let go of that constant undercurrent of self-judgment, and the smoke begins to clear a little bit in our unconscious, what we see is we're okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Right? I mean, the judgment just begins to die because you know what? There's no truth to it. There's no truth to it. So where there was darkness, there is light. Where what is, your perfection, was not seen, it is seen now. And when it is seen, it cannot be denied, because that which sees it is knowledge. And knowledge does know what to do when it sees, because knowledge knows what it is, what it truly desires, and how those desires are made manifest. So he's talking about clarity. Let's see, Dove has written, we have three faces. My public face, who I am afraid I am, and the truth I am. And he says someone named Warner said this, but that's exactly what I discovered within myself. I mean, you could put Regina after that and probably many, many other people who have looked. There was my public face. That was the cover your ass face, right? That was the face who was trying to do everything perfect, everything right, all the time so no one would see how bad I am. You know? People called that successful in my case. So there was my public face, and then underneath my public face, the fear. The fear that I was really not only bad, but the worst of the worst. That's what was hidden under my success, my achievement, my kindness, my helping others. And then when I quit deciding to believe in that, well, then the truth, and he calls it the truth I am, And that is what it is. But within the perception of separation, it is the truth of everyone. In other words, as I came to see that I am not guilty, I also came to see that you are not guilty. As I came to see that I am not unworthy, I came to see that you are not unworthy. Right? It was simultaneous. Which means that you can make a mistake in front of me, something that you may think you're horribly guilty for, and I don't share that perception with you. I don't share it. Yeah, I am is the same for all. All right, so going back to the message, where there was darkness, there is light. Where what is was not seen, it is seen now. And when it is seen, it cannot be denied, because that which sees it is knowledge. And knowledge does know what to do when it sees. You have clarity now, right? Because knowledge knows what it is, what it truly desires, and how those desires are made manifest. The Spirit continues, knowledge is natural, because knowledge is knowledge. This is why knowledge is likened to light. When the light is turned on through willing awareness, the light does all that light can do. It shines darkness away. Think about how natural it is for light to shine darkness away. So our job is to will for awareness, remembering that awareness is the light. Our job really is to say, yes, I am willing to see the errors in my mind. I'm willing to see the self-judgment that's going on that I don't see. I'm willing to see any motives I need to see that are, you know, causing me to not know myself, holding me back from not knowing myself. I am willing to see everything. Now, what I like to do is leave the pace of that to Spirit. I figure Spirit knows the pace that is right for me for the errors to be exposed and seen. So I like to leave the pace to Spirit. But I don't want at all to be afraid of seeing. Because if I'm afraid of seeing, I can't be set free. Being afraid of seeing is equal to choosing to stay in prison or in hell. So I'm grateful that Cheryl Valentine said she's happy. You know, she's excited now to see her errors. I share that. And it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. All right, so that's the end of that message. Again, you know, it's kind of funny when these messages end like 10 minutes to the hour, because I don't exactly feel like starting the next message. What is it? Walking through walls. Oh, what the heck? We'll start it anyway. So if you're in the light of awareness, if you just scroll to the top, you'll see where it says walking through walls, and you can click on that. For those of you who are not in the light of awareness, I'm going to give you a link. And we'll just move right into this message and see what it is. I don't remember at all. Okay, so here's what I said to Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I am so happy and excited because I have seen more than one witness to the mind of the Son of God, and all of the witnesses are saying the same thing. They are seeing glimmers of clarity, and they know what they are ready to do, yet they are also somewhat afraid. Dear Holy Spirit, what would you share with our mind today in its current state of readiness? So I'm pretty sure here I was talking about the people who were around me in PAL Talk and on the NTI discussion group. People who were reading these messages that were coming to Laurent and I almost as fast as Laurent and I were reading them. And people who were with us in PAL Talk as we shared and discussed them. And it felt like we were all kind of rising up together. Like, it wasn't just me and Laurent, it was this group of people, right? So I'm sure that's who I'm talking about here. Here's Holy Spirit's answer when I said, what would you share with our mind today in its current state of readiness? Holy Spirit said, I am happy with the willingness to step into the seat of the Master. Of course, this is a seat you have never left, but to be willing to accept this now is very important. It is important because you are ready for it. If you were not ready, it truly would not matter at all. So Spirit is, you know, happy that we're willing to take on the practice and, you know, do as Spirit asks. And Spirit says it's important, but says the only reason it's important is because it's what we want. If we were in a different place and we weren't ready to look at our minds, we weren't ready to will for awareness, that would be okay too. But since it's what we want, it's important for us. Spirit goes on. The fear in the mind is a wonderful place to start, since fear can seem like a very real obstacle. However, I said seem like, because fear is nothing real at all. But it may not seem like this to you, as you see fear as a very real wall. So let's begin with fear. You have been told that you can walk through walls. That's what somebody told me on the phone. Actually, somebody talking to me said that all of us, could walk through walls if we wanted to, right? It was only our belief in the walls that kept us from walking through them. So Spirit is referring to this sentence that I heard on the phone. You have been told that you can walk through walls. That, of course, is because walls do not truly exist. The walls that you experience only seem to be there because of your belief in them, and also because of your belief that beyond the wall is something you fear more. Now, in case you haven't picked up on it, even though the friend on the phone was talking about, you know, like physical walls between two rooms, Spirit is using that statement as a symbol, but Spirit is actually referring to our fear. That's what Spirit is calling a wall. And Spirit says that fear does seem to stop us sometimes from practicing like we could, from willing for awareness, for example. We might be too afraid to will for awareness because we may be afraid that what we see is proof that we're bad, right? So he's saying that fear can hold us back just like a wall. But that is only because our belief in the fear and our belief that something even worse than fear is behind the wall, like proof that we're bad. So you have been told that you can walk through walls. That, of course, is because walls do not truly exist. The walls that you experience only seem to be there because of your belief in them, and also because of your belief that beyond the wall is something you fear more. You respect the wall and the seeming solidity of the wall because you believe the wall protects you. But all the wall does is hide the light from you, and you do not truly fear the light. The idea that you fear the light is only an idea, and it is this idea that seems to create a wall. Now, many of us have been told that we fear God, that we fear the light. Many of us even think it's true. But what we really fear is that the light is going to witness to the fact that we're bad. That's what we really fear. In other words, what we really fear is untrue. We don't fear the light. If we totally knew that the light loved us wholly, that we were innocent, and that there was no judgment in the light, we wouldn't fear the light. We don't actually fear the light. That's a lie. We fear the light declaring that we're bad, which the light will never do. Right? So we fear the unreal. We fear that which can never happen. And we say we fear God, but we don't. We fear our own judgment of ourselves. So the idea that you fear the light is only an idea. And it is this idea that seems to create a wall. So we listen to our fear. We respect our fear, and therefore we don't will for awareness or whatever. Because we're afraid that if we take those steps, what we're going to discover is that we're truly bad. If you guys saw a little fun video I posted today on my Facebook page, it's called The Stethoscope. And it was about a guy who found a stethoscope, and he could hold the stethoscope up to things and it would play a song that really you could say is their true thoughts or the truth of whatever the stethoscope was held up to. And it's kind of fun. He holds it up to a dog. He holds it up to a pole. He holds it up to different things. And you hear these songs. It's funny. But then at the end, he takes this deep breath. He gets this idea to hold it up to himself. And he takes this deep breath. You can see the fear, right? What am I going to hear when I hold it up to myself? I won't tell you the end. Sharon's saying she saw it. But I won't tell you the end. Go to my Facebook page and watch it. It's called The Stethoscope. And I don't want to spoil it for you. But that deep breath he took before he held the stethoscope up to himself, that's the fear that what I'm going to discover is that my worst fear is true, I'm bad. That's why we respect the fear and we don't go beyond it. We think it protects us from that ultimate discovery. Spirit continues, everything that I just shared with you is sheer imagination. It is sheer imagination because none of it exists right now. Right now, you are safe in the arms of heaven, being that which you have always been. When you have glimmers of this knowledge, you know that you don't fear it. You know you don't fear the light. If you've had any experience of the light at all, you know you don't fear it. The belief that the light is going to expose your badness is just an idea. Anytime you felt the light, you knew that's where you wanted to be. Everyone who's ever felt the light knows that. We don't fear the light. It's a lie. Right now, you are safe in the arms of heaven, being that which you have always been. When you have glimmers of this knowledge, you know that you don't fear it. Because when you have glimmers of this knowledge, you know that you relax. You always relax in God when you know God. And you have the experience of God. If the wall is a lie, the fear, right, that the light is going to expose how bad you are, if the wall is a lie and you know fully that it is, then the fear that seems like the wall must be a lie also. And you will learn this by choosing to walk through the wall. So if you're afraid to will for awareness, do it anyway. That's how Cheryl learned, right? That's why Cheryl's happy to ask to see her errors now, because she did it anyway, even though she was afraid, and she learned. She learned that that's what sets her free, so now she's not afraid to ask. So you will learn this by choosing to walk through the wall, by choosing to experience fear, and by discovering that it is nothing but an experience. You learn there is nothing to fear. But to choose to be afraid of your fear is to continue to believe in the wall. So if you do not will for awareness because your fear tells you not to, you're just giving the fear power. You want to know how to do this, how to experience fear without being afraid. Notice, first of all, the motive within the question. Notice that the question itself comes from the belief there is something to fear. Then start here by choosing not to ask the question. Choose instead to trust yourself. So Spirit's saying, instead of asking me fearfully, how do I do that? Just trust that you will know how to do it and be willing to do it. Choose instead to trust yourself. Choose to trust that you do know how to walk through a wall. Find that place in you that knows this fact. Anchor yourself in this knowledge and then walk forward directly toward the wall. Do not worry that you will fail. Do not worry that the wall cannot be found. You are ready and the wall will find you. Okay, so the fear is going to show up when it shows up. And when it does, you know what to do. We often call it rest, accept, and trust, but there's something within you that if you have the willingness to go through the fear to the light, something in you is able to guide you. You know, you have that knowledge. It's inherent. It's a part of what you are. To pretend like you don't know is to pretend. Trust yourself. Get in touch with your intuition that knows how to lead you through the wall of fear to the realization of the light. Just remember that the wall is only an experience. Have willingness to have the experience of walking through the wall. So there we go. We did it in 10 minutes. I'm glad I moved forward. Okay, I actually will not be here next Sunday night. I will talk to Laurent and see if he can be. And then I'll get in touch with you, Dove, to let you know what's up. But I will be traveling next Sunday night, so I won't be here. I will be here Wednesday morning, however, so I'll see you all then. Thank you for coming. Bye.